Welcome to Reconquest on the Crusade channel of the Veritas Radio Network. This is Brother Andre Marie coming to you from St. Benedict Center in Richmond, New Hampshire. Our websites are Catholicism.org and Reconquest.net. My email address is bam@Catholicism.org. That's bam@Catholicism.org. I can also be found easily on Twitter @Brother_Andre and on Facebook. Our topic this evening is St. Robert Bellarmine, Catholic controversialist. My guest for the second segment is Mr. Ryan Grant, the managing editor of Mediatrix Press. He's a freelance Latinist and a scholar who has been translating numerous works of St. Robert Bellarmine into English, which are then being published by his press, Mediatrix Press. So we're speaking about a saint tonight, and I'm going to begin in this first segment with a little bit of a biography of a man whose life is very large, so this biography is by no means comprehensive or adequate. There's a very large two-volume life of the saint in English that's a good source, although it's written by kind of a liberal Jesuit, Father Broderick, but it is nonetheless a good read. St. Robert Bellarmine was born on October the 4th in 1542 in Montepulciano, that's in Tuscany, Italy, and he died on September 17th in 1621 in Rome. St. Robert's parents were Vincenzo Bellarmine, Bellarmino in Italian, and Cinzia Cervini, who herself was a niece of Pope Marcellus II. This lady, Cinzia Cervini, St. Robert's mother, was conspicuous for her piety. So evidently he learned a lot of his pious habits from her. Robert was the third of their 10 children, and he was a sickly and frail boy who was educated by the Jesuits. His teachers praised him for his academic performance as well as for his sanctity. He entered the Society of Jesus himself at the age of 18, and he did so over the objections of his father, who wanted him to serve in a career in politics, believe it or not. Because of St. Robert's persistent health problems, he was sent from one city to another by his Jesuit superiors in an effort to improve his physical well-being. So he toured much of Italy this way and ended up in Flanders. Even before his priestly ordination in 1570, he was appointed to preach in many of these cities that he was sent to. After his priestly ordination, again in the year 1570, he was appointed professor at the Louvain in Belgium, where he lectured on the works of St. Thomas Aquinas for about 6 years until the year 1576. While he was at Louvain, he became acquainted with a colleague who also taught there. And I mention this because I think we might see it as setting the pace, perhaps, for his future career as a Catholic controversialist and a polemicist against the errors of his day. This colleague who taught there, also at Louvain, was named Michel de Bay, or he's commonly known to history as Baius in his Latinized form. Baius is famous for being something of the grandfather of the Jansenist heresy, which itself is a collection of heretical ideas not too far from Calvin, from Calvinism, although it has many more resemblances to Catholicism than Calvinism does. And unlike Calvinism, which was clearly outside of the fold, the Jansenist heresy was largely influencing Catholic priests and bishops. Among the errors of Michel de Bay was the denial of free will. St. Robert Bellarmine took to refuting his colleague when he came to learn of these errors. And again, this sort of sets the pace for him as a controversialist in later life. Speaking of which, in 1576, he was recalled to Rome and entrusted with the newly founded Chair of Controversies at the Jesuit-run Roman College. That college, by the way, is still in existence, and it is now known as the Gregorian, and it's still run by the Jesuits. This new professorial position was part of the fighting spirit of the Counter-Reformation, as it was established for the purpose of refuting the heresies of the so-called reformers. And of course, we're speaking of the Protestant reformers, Luther and Calvin and so forth. The lectures that he delivered there grew into the work De Controversiis, which is perhaps the work that he is chiefly known for. And we could mention also that in that work and in his other polemical works, St. Robert didn't simply defend the truths of the faith. He specifically quoted at length the errors of the different Protestant reformers, be it Luther or Calvin or Zwingli or any of the others. And he had their works at his elbow, so to speak, while he was doing this. And he quotes them at length and then refutes them point by point. According to the famous modern Jesuit, not too long deceased, Father John A. Harden, quote, "Bellarmine, more than any single man in Christendom, analyzed Protestantism to its roots," end quote. So this is why we entitled this show St. Robert Bellarmine, Catholic Controversialist. As a young professor, St. Robert taught himself Hebrew and wrote a popular grammar of the Hebrew language. This is one of numerous illustrations of the man's prodigious mental abilities. We could cite a whole host of things in this regard to show you the man's acumen. In 1588, he was made the spiritual director of the Roman College, that is what we now know as the Gregorian, where he went. And in that capacity, he served as the spiritual guide for the last years of the life of St. Aloysius Gonzaga, who died at that college in 1591. Later on, St. Robert would work on the cause for St. Aloysius's beatification. It's a strange thing, but one not entirely unexplained, that St. Robert was canonized almost 200 years after St. Aloysius. There'll be more on that in a bit, on why his canonization took so long. In 1592, Bellarmine was made rector of the Roman College, rector being the most important administrative position at the college. And then in 1595, he was made the Jesuit provincial of Naples. But this assignment outside of Rome lasted only about 2 years, as he was recalled in 1597 by Pope Clement VIII to become that pope's theologian. He was also named to several offices in the Roman Curia, that is the central bureaucracy, as it were, in Rome that helps the Pope to run the church. And he was created cardinal in 1599. So from here on out, he's known as Cardinal Bellarmine. At that time, at the time of elevating him to the cardinalate, Clement VIII said of St. Robert that, quote, "the Church of God had not his equal in learning," end quote. In 1602, St. Robert was named Archbishop of Capua, which is further south of Rome, where he served for 3 years in a very exemplary manner. Three years later, he took place in the two papal conclaves of 1605. And there were two that year, owing to the death of Clement VIII, followed by the 26-day papacy of Leo XI, not unlike the very short pontificate of Pope John Paul I. In both of these conclaves, the name of Cardinal Bellarmine was mentioned as papabile, that is, somebody who might be made pope, much to the humble Jesuit's chagrin. He made it very plain to his fellow cardinals that he didn't want to be made pope. Instead of serving as the pope, he rather served the new pope, Paul V, in a number of official capacities. And I'm not going to rattle off the list of Roman curial offices that he was appointed to, but there were several. He was relieved of his duties as Archbishop of Capua since he had to stay in Rome, and this, it should be noted, was at his own insistence because he didn't want to be a negligent pastor of souls. You're listening to Reconquest on the Crusade channel of the Veritas Radio Network. This is Brother Andre Marie, and we're talking this evening about St. Robert Bellarmine, Catholic controversialist. Both as a bishop and a cardinal, St. Robert would have been exempted from the strict observance of poverty that was required of Jesuit religious. He was, after all, not only a priest, he was a Jesuit, so he had the vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. However, although he was exempted from the strict observance of poverty, he insisted on staying in a Jesuit house, and when his room was supplied with elaborate silk, velvet, and damask wall hangings, because somebody thought that this befit his dignified office as bishop and cardinal, he gave all of these away so that he could help to keep the poor warm. When he was questioned about his bare walls, he replied, quote, "The walls won't catch cold," end quote. It needs to be noted that one of the many virtues that St. Robert was known for was his love of poverty, and I assume that this was connected to his personal devotion to St. Francis of Assisi, the poverello, the poor man of Assisi, who was so well known for his observance of poverty, courting, as he called her, Lady Poverty. Among the many ecclesiastical pies that St. Robert Bellarmine had his hand in during his day are the following. The De Auxiliis controversy. This is something that I'm just going to mention in passing, but it was an enormous controversy in the realm of the doctrine of grace. I'm sure our guest can speak to this more when we come to the second segment. He defended the papacy against James I of England. In fact, he had a direct controversy with James I, who was championing the cause of Anglicanism against Catholicism. He also defended the so-called indirect power of the papacy in temporal affairs. And in doing this, he kind of made enemies on both camps. He made enemies in the camp of people who had sort of exaggerated the prerogatives of the Pope in temporal affairs. And later, especially, he made enemies in the camp not only of England among the legal theorists known as the Regalists in England, who defended the divine right of kings, but also among the French Gallicans, that is, the overly zealous defenders of the rather exaggerated prerogatives of the French monarch. In the realm of even ecclesiastical affairs, he made enemies of these Gallicans, and this, by the way, supplies us with at least one answer to why his canonization took so long, because the courtiers of the French monarch did everything they could to meddle in ecclesiastical affairs in an attempt to stop St. Robert's beatification after his death, since he was their implacable enemy. So St. Aloysius Gonzaga beat him to the altar by almost 200 years because of this. St. Aloysius apparently didn't live long enough to make too many enemies, except in hell. Another affair that St. Robert had his hands in, another church pie he had his fingers in, was that he oversaw the trial of Giordano Bruno, the famous heretic who ended up being burned at the stake. St. Robert Bellarmine actually was in charge of that trial. And he was also involved in the early stages of the Galileo affair, though he died before the later stages when the Galileo affair developed into a much larger thing. It's been said that had St. Robert Bellarmine not died, the Galileo affair would have had a more graceful ending. That's sort of one of those what-ifs of history, and it is sort of intrinsically unanswerable. He helped St. Francis de Sales to obtain approval for the Visitation Order of Nuns that St. Francis de Sales had co-founded with St. Jane Frances de Chantal. And speaking of St. Francis de Sales, he had a great personal respect for St. Robert Bellarmine as a person, as a holy fellow bishop, and also as a polemicist. And he said himself, quote, "I preached 5 years in Chablais with no other books than the Bible and the works of the great Bellarmine. And this, of course, is no small tribute of praise, since St. Francis de Sales had quoted tens of thousands of Calvinist heretics back to the Catholic faith. And speaking again still of St. Francis de Sales, he was made coadjutor bishop of Geneva only after he passed a theological test that was administered to him by St. Robert Bellarmine. At that time, St. Robert ran a very important Roman office that oversaw the appointment of bishops. And this is something that was of great importance to him, because he saw how very needed it was to appoint good bishops into the different sees all over Europe. And in so doing, he was continuing the reforms of the only still recently concluded Council of Trent, which reformed the priesthood and the episcopacy and its disciplinary reform of the entire church. St. Robert Bellarmine is known also for his very robust defense of the prerogatives of the Holy See and of the Pope. Indeed, when the Fathers of Vatican I met to define papal infallibility, they turned to the works of St. Robert Bellarmine on the Roman Pontiff in order to frame their definition. That being said, he was not what we would call today a popolitor, that is, one who exaggerates the papal office. And in order to show this, I'm going to read a little paragraph, an extended quote from an article written by Father John Hardin, again, another Jesuit. He says this, in his treatise on the Roman Pontiff, he relates the story of a German mystic, St. Lutgardus, a religious who lived during the reign of Pope Innocent III, one of the most famous popes in the history of the Church. The just deceased Innocent III appeared to St. Lutgardus in her monastery to thank her for the prayers and sacrifices she had offered for him during his reign as Roman Pontiff. Innocent III said that it was her prayer and penance that saved him from hell. During the pontificate, he was not strong enough and destined to be condemned to hell. But before he died, he made his peace with God, and the Lord revealed to him that it was her prayers, that is, the prayers of St. Lutgardus, and sacrifices that saved him. But now he was in purgatory, destined to stay there until the end of time. So he asked her to redouble her prayers and penances to free him from purgatory before the consummation of the world. St. Lutgardus heeded his plea, and years later he reappeared to her resplendent in glory to thank her for obtaining his release from purgatory. End quote from Father John Hardin. I mention this because St. Robert Bellarmine clearly had no exaggerated idea that every pope was a saint. In his polemical works defending the papacy, he makes it very clear that the pope can do harm to the church. And here he's giving an example of one of the greatest popes in history, one of the most influential popes. I mean, he was a big crusading pope. He did a lot to advance the cause of the Crusades and other things as well. Here he's showing that he has no fake respect for the office, that he's not willing to say this thing, which is essentially unflattering to one of the greatest popes in history. St. Robert died on September the 17th, 1621. This, significantly, is the feast of the stigmata of St. Francis of Assisi. That is the commemoration of the impression on St. Francis of Assisi with the five wounds of our Lord. St. Robert had been born on October 4th, which is the main feast of St. Francis, and he was named Roberto Francesco Romolo Bellarmino, which sounds like the name of an opera, I guess, but Francesco there is after St. Francis of Assisi. Not only was St. Robert the Jesuit personally dedicated to the founder of the Franciscans, the feast of September 17th, the Stigmata, was something that he helped to institute in the church in his capacity as cardinal prefect of the Sacred Congregation of Rites. In the traditional Roman rite, St. Robert's feast is on May 13th, which is the anniversary of his beatification by Pope Pius XI. In the new rite, His feast is celebrated on September 17th, because largely, I think, because they sort of demoted the Feast of the Stigmata of St. Francis. St. Robert Bellarmine was canonized by the same pope that beatified him, Pius XI, in 1930, and he was declared a doctor of the Universal Church in 1931. He's the patron saint of catechists, among other things. You're listening to Reconquest. This is Brother Andre Marie. And when we come back after the break, we'll be interviewing Mr. Ryan Grant, an expert on St. Robert Bellarmine. Please stay with us.
You're listening to Reconquest with Brother Andre Marie, seeking that which was lost and fighting for it. Exclusively on the Veritas Radio Network's Crusade.